interesting if you go through and look at the genealogy of Jesus. And you hear all these, you know, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And there are a couple of names in here that really stand out of those who are in the genealogy of Christ. Those who are we would say, aren't the sort of the highlights that we would, right? I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he was talking about his family. And he was talking about how his family came over on the Mayflower, right? And I guess there's a club that you could belong to, right? Like people of the Mayflower. I don't know what their group is. And so he was part of that. He was pretty highfalutin about it. He was just like, well, my people, you know, I don't know where my people came from. I'm kind of a Heinz 57. I'm just a mutt. So, you know, and no one came of prestige or importance. And so, you know, it's funny listening to him and how his people came over and da 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 da. And, yeah, we tend to do that. Is anyone into genealogies of following through? And, you know, because people come up through and say, oh, wow, you know, I was related to, you know, King Henry's second cousin's nephew. And, you know, I'm like 1 millionth from the throne, right? I mean, you hear talking about the people who are kind of hooked up in all those things, right? And we kind of pat ourselves. But I find it always interesting. Because guess what? You have no control over your genealogy. Right? And people kind of pumped up and said, well, my people, well, good for them. Right? What does that say about you? But I digress. Maybe I'm just bitter because, like I said, I'm a nobody. From a long line of nobodies. But that's okay. God knows. And so over the next couple weeks, we're going to look at these ones who are grafted into grace. And this is a sermon that actually I went through and preached this several years ago. And it just stuck with me, so I'm going to kind of revamp it a little bit and bring through, because I think it's so important for us as God's people, that God is not a God who plays favorites. That God accepts you. And we play a role. And so as we head into Christmas, we look at these genealogies. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at Rahab, Bathsheba, and Ruth, these three ladies who only belong into this lineage because of God's grace. And in here, they play a role. And so I thought this would be an interesting study for us to go through. And in here, we have the genealogy of Christ. And all those ones who played a role, and Abraham, and all these ones, all these high-stake people, we can often read through these genealogies, and we remember the stories and read the accounts about them. But like I said, some of these, especially these ladies, we kind of gloss over, yet God put them in our word. Put us in the scriptures that we can look at them. Right? I mean, think about that. God thought they were important enough to make sure that we know about them. So much so that he wanted us to know that they're all part of the genealogy of Christ. So this morning we're going to take a look at Rahab is so the great, 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 great mother of Jesus Christ. And she was not a Jew. Right? She wasn't of the chosen people, and yet God chose her to bring him into the flesh. That amazes me. Because like I said, growing up, I was never a very prestigious family anywhere we were. And sometimes, it's interesting, you just move into a small town, America, and you have family names, and some of you guys have heritage and people and all those things. And I remember back, we just moved to Maine, up in Dyer Brook, and I was just walking down the hall, I was just a young kid, and there's this just mean bully. You ever met bullies? And this kid, I can't remember. Basically, he wanted me to move, and I didn't move. And he knocked my stuff out. And the guy was kind of I was a wiry, believe it or not, I used to be skinny at one point. So I was this skinny little kid. You know, so fights weren't for me. Usually I tried to talk my way out of it, or I was very fast, I could run. Those were my two defenses. You know, I was not a brawler. But this guy is smaller than I was, and he was mouthier than I was. And I'm like, who is this guy? And he had two bigger guys that were alongside of him. And he goes, do you know who I am? I'm like, no. And he's like, well, my dad's one of the big potato farmers around here. So you got to do what I tell you to do. Now, it's interesting because it depends on where you are. You know, farmers are different ratings on the social thing. But up in the county, they were the ones who had the money. They were the ones who had the employment. They were these things. And so he would go around and, do you know who I am? And flex of who his dad was because you need to listen to him. And I'm just like, that's baloney. So I understand this idea of sort of being on the outsider. But I also know about God's grace and God's mercy. That God calls you no matter what background you have. He calls you no matter what family you belong to. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. And Rahab brings this in. Because Rahab was a sinner all the way around. We have this case of Rahab, of being in Jericho. Just getting up to speed. The Israelites had traveled through the wilderness and God had given them the land. And they came to the city of Jericho and it was a wicked city. In here, the people were filled with not worshipers of God, but of Baal and all the wickedness that goes along with that. The sacrifices, the sacrificing their children. It was a corrupt, wicked. The Bible talks about Rahab being a harlot. So not only was she among a sinful people, but herself was a woman of questionable morals. Actually, when we go ahead and take a look, I just want to bring up three things as we talk about this idea of God in us, that God saves those with a past. God saves those who have a past. Joshua chapter 2, we bring across this account, says Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men to the Achaia Grove to spy secretly, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of the harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now there's some speculation of was she sort of an innkeeper for traveling merchants who came through? And when we think of sort of inns, you know, we think of wonderful, you know, let's go stop at the Days Inn or the Marriott, and these are these nice, lush places. That wasn't the case. Actually, in the scriptures, oftentimes when you're traveling, you would find family along the way. And you would just, you know, Middle East was big on their hospitality, so you'd say, hey, I'm Uncle George's second cousin. Can I stay? And they would have to say yes. So you knew it was a safe place for you to stay. The inns were the last places you went to. They were rough. They were tough. There was immorality taking place there. Often there was prostitution taking place. There was gambling. There was drunkenness. They weren't a good place to go hang out. So Joshua sends off these spies into the land. He goes, look, especially check out Jericho. This is this big fortified city. Go check them out. So the spies make their way into the city and they find themselves at Rahab's place. And it's interesting because when we have Rahab's name always brought up, it's always the harlot named Rahab. The Bible wants to make sure that we know what kind of woman she is. And this is one of those people that we talk about today are sort of outskirts of main society. These are ones who are outskirts, even for the church, to reach and minister to, right? Because they're not often like us. But we need to realize that Jesus saves people out of those things. Paul told Timothy, it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save what? Sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ didn't come into the world to save good people. He didn't. Somewhere along the line, people have gotten this idea that they need to clean themselves up. And I'm not talking about showers, right? I mean, it's, right? I have to get my life squared away before I come to church. That is the furthest thing. And it's interesting because Christ accepts you as you are. Now, he will change you. But let him have that work in his life. But you don't have to change before you come to him. It breaks my heart as a pastor. There are so many people who will not darken the door of the church because they don't feel like they're worthy. Or, you know, I love the favorite line, you know, the ceiling will fall in. Or the floor will fall in. Actually, we had one guy invited to church, and he goes, oh, if I come in, the floor will fall in. I said, no, it won't. Right? And so actually he came to church, and we were talking down in the hall, and all of a sudden the floor gave way. There was a rotted board underneath the carpet. And it kind of went like this, and it kind of dipped down about 3 inches. And his eyes got about this big. And I grabbed him. I was like, don't leave. He goes, I told you. I'm like, wow. Well, maybe it's a sign from the Lord. Repent. Be saved, right? And he came in. But I was like, oh, yeah. So one time someone said the floor will cave in. It actually did. But don't spread that around. We want rumors. I think God has a sense of humor. But Christ said, come. You give your life to him, and he does the cleansing. He does the changing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 kind of goes through this list of sins that we're like, aha, yeah, here's those sinners. Look what it says. But do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, nor fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, or drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is where the pious of us rise up and say, yeah, those sinners out there. But Paul goes on. And such were what? Some of you. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God loves sinners who come to him, that he will cleanse and he will change and he will do the work. But he says, come. And we got to be careful that we don't get so arrogant. You know, sometimes in my life, like I said, I'm getting to the age where I'm like, kids nowadays, get off my lawn, right? I'm becoming a grumpy old man. And every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so. And and my wife will say, well, wait a minute. Didn't you do the same thing when you were that age? Yeah. Actually, if I was honest, God was gracious to me that I didn't always get caught for all the things I did. And that's by his mercy. Not because I deserve it. Sometimes God needs that reminder to knock me off my high horse, because guess what? Apart from his grace, there goes I. Amen? You know, if anyone in this long list of people came to our church, it was funny, years ago, we were doing a wedding. And a gentleman came in who was playing the piano for the wedding party. And the guy pulled me aside. He goes, look, Pastor, I just want you to know that the guy who's playing, he's family. He goes, but he's gay. He goes, is it okay if he comes? I'm like, yeah. So we went through the rehearsal. And actually, the guy was a riot. I mean, we got along really good. We were going back and forth and yucking it up. And one of the people from the church happened to be coming in the rehearsal and saw me kind of interacting with him. And he goes, Pastor, don't be so nice to him. And I'm like, why? He goes, he might come to church on Sunday. And I was like, I hope so. And he's like, yeah, but what would you do? I'd shake his hand and say, glad to have you come. And it was like, oh. And I was like, oh, no. Christ came to save sinners, of which I am one. And he saved me. Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." If that's not even clear enough, Jesus himself said, he came to seek and save that which is lost. God saves sinners. Our neighbors, our co-workers, those that we get angry with, what we see on the news and on the TV, he offers them his grace towards them. Rehab from a wicked people in a wicked profession saves her. But it gets even better than that. See, not only God saves those with a past, but God uses those with a past. Joshua goes on. He says, "Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof." Because what happened was, okay, fill in the blanks here, that here you have spies, and word got out, oh, there's spies. And so the king sent out the guards to search out the city, find the spies. And she goes to the spies and says, "You know what? Why don't you guys go hide on the roof?" Roof. "Go up above the ceiling. And go hide." And they did. They went up there and they hid. And she came up to meet them. And she came to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since you have shown, I have shown you my kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, and my brothers, and my sister, and all that they have, and deliver us our lives from death." Can I tell you something? She got it. Right? She saw the testimony of what God was doing from afar off, right? And she saw all these things. She saw the deliverance of Israel, of the victories that God had given them. And her eyes were open. And she's like, "You know what? Your God is the true God." Boy, she had more faith than half the Israelites did. Actually, just back up just a little bit. In Numbers chapter 13, when God brought Israel to the promised land, they sent out spies, right? And they're going to check out all that. And the word came back, and 10 spies said, "Oh, we can't do it. It's too hard." And only Caleb and Joshua came back and says, "We can take it." Look at this. It says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with them said, 'We are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we.'" This is the Israelites. It's interesting. These are the ones who experienced the crossing of the Red Sea. These are the ones who experienced the victories in the wilderness. Right? These are the ones who experienced the manna. These are the ones who had firsthand knowledge of how great God is. And yet this woman, this harlot, had more faith than they did. Wow. And God used her. God used her to save her family and the spies. Man, God can use you. Don't say, "Well, my past disqualifies me. Pastor, if you only knew all the things I did." Hogwash. God uses you as he sees fit. He just asks you to believe. And Rahab, the harlot, had faith much more than those who belong to God. So they go in there and the walls come tumbling down, you know, right? You know the story. March around the city, right? Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Jericho, right? You guys know. And the walls came tumbling down. Right, you guys know, okay. And God delivered them. And what the spies said is, listen, Rahab, if here is a scarlet cloth, take this and tie it to your window. And when we see this, we will not attack. But here's the deal. You have to be in your home at the time. All your family has to be in the home at the time. And you got to promise not to write us out later on. And she did exactly what was asked of her. She hung the scarlet cloth out. And this is Caleb. It says, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction in it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers from Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. God used her. Right? Not just in her life, but to use her to save the spies. Because surely they would have been caught. God used her, not in her own life, but in you to make a difference in the rest of the family. And maybe in your family, you're the only one who is a Christian. I encourage you, don't give up. God can use you. I know my mom saying, I think there was like 12 kids. And for a long time, I think my mom was one or two of the only believers in there. And years and years and years, she prayed for her brothers and sisters to come to the Lord. And not all of them have, but many have. And I believe because my mom prayed. And we see this so many times, right? You have an impact and a reach into a world that I never will. God will use you. Don't you dare say that God can't use me because of whatever your past is. No. Now, it might shift of how God uses you, right? But God's got a ministry for you. I believe with all my heart. If God can use Rahab, he can use you. Lastly, we see this. Not only does God save those who have a past, not only do we have God who will use those who have a past, but God will redefine you. See, this is the hope of the gospel. And I kind of cringe because we've gone into this society where we identify people with their sin. Right? This is who I am. No, it's not. That's what you're doing. You see the difference? We want to associate my identity with my sin. And Jesus doesn't do that. Because he saves us out of our sin. I don't have to be that anymore. I praise God for that. I don't have to be who I used to be. Look what he says. We have Rahab talked about in the New Testament. Right? For the new church to reach back into the Old Testament and her name gets popped up again as an encouragement to the believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, God didn't save you to keep you in your sin. No, he transforms you and changes you. Praise God for that. You know, I've talked with people who, you know, grew up in a small town and stayed in a small town. And they sort of have the stigma, right, of what family they belong to, of who their parents were, of what their fathers did, of what their brothers did, right? And they put that around people's neck. I had someone call me. I said, Pastor, I just want you to know that so-and-so is coming to your church. And I want you to know what kind of family he's from. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah, but you don't understand what kind of people these are. No, guess what? They need the Lord. The Lord loves them, and the Lord can change them. I believe that. There is no one who is so far that God's grace can't change them. Do you believe that? We want to hang around our necks all these labels, all these identities that the world puts on us. You are not those things. You are who God says you are. Amen? Hebrews, the hall of faith, right? I mean, this is the big list of all the big hitters in the Bible. In verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. She is listed as the hero of faith. Wow. You know how many passages of how many people aren't in this list? Yet God chose a sinful woman who believed in the true God. And now she's a hero. Amen. I hope that encourages you. I really hope it does. Because somehow we want to have this sort of this two-tier systems, right? We have the elites and the privilege, right? And then we have, you know, all this kind of peons down here and we don't matter. Hogwash. All that goes away. We are all equal before the cross. And we see this of God taking a sinner and changing him for his honor and for his glory. James talks about her as well. He says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them another way? James, his whole message in the book of James is like, you know what? You say you believe, let's see it. Put your faith into action. And we all need that message today. You know, right? We meet people and say, oh yeah, I believe in God. Well, is it impacting your life? Well, no. And that's not faith. And James points to Rahab, of this woman who actually turned her back on her worldview, who turned her back on her countrymen, who turned around and said, I'm not going to go the way of the world. I want to serve the true God, and I've seen him through you. And she hid the spies. She put her neck out. And James says, aha, you know what? Be like her. I find that powerful. I really do. Right? You want me to be like this harlot? You know, God didn't see her that way anymore. She's a hero of the faith. Be like her. Wow. Because remember, 1 Corinthians we talked about, right? This long list of sins, and such were some of you. I don't know all your past. I don't need to. But let me tell you something. You don't have to be defined by it. God wants to use you. Especially as we think of this Christmas season. Like we get into the genealogies. And actually Matthew chapter 1 actually has her in the sentence. It says Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. And actually Boaz marries Ruth. We'll get into our one we're going to talk about next week. We see this lineage that she is now part of the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you, you are a part of the kingdom of God. God is not done with you yet. There is nowhere you have gone too far that his grace cannot bring you back. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And he offers it to you. If by faith, like Rahab, you will put action to it and say, God, I want you and I want to follow you. You know what? I can't think of the better gift for Christmas than saying, Lord, here am I. You know, my past doesn't matter anymore. I lay it down at your feet. Use me. Help me to realize I am who you say I am. What powerful impact that is. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you as we read the scriptures. We hear about Rahab, a stranger from your grace in a hostile world. doing unspeakable things, and yet she gave her life to you, Lord, and you used her, you changed her, and you used her. Lord, I pray in our lives, Lord, we turn from our sins and cling to you. Lord, we are so imperfect. We are so flawed. But nothing is beyond your grace. Lord, help us, each one of us, realize I am who you say I am. And Lord, if I accepted you, I am a child of God. Lord, help me live like it. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.